Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Today, I have a really interesting guest, Neil Grimmer, who is the brand president of a really unique company called Source Global, Inc. And I'm going to let Neil explain what they do, but they are certainly working to help us understand how do we get the human resources that we need to where they're needed most. So welcome to the show, Neil. I'm going to let you talk about what you do.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So at Source, we have a technology that we're able to take water that's just in the air, suspended in the air all around us, and turn it into purified drinking water. In the most remote regions of the world, in inner cities, in job sites, at homes, pretty much anywhere where there's an abundance of air and sunlight, we can generate water with this technology.
That's amazing. One of the things I want to talk about personally about you is that you have worked so diligently throughout your career to bring really meaningful businesses to the foreground, to really look at what are we doing to help the planet, to help people of the planet. And I think that that is so important as a model for business. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh.
And which is just amazing. And what I always understand for myself personally is when we follow what nature does, which is what you're doing, essentially you are collecting, just evaporation. And that is why hasn't this been seen before or used before? But I think that that's brilliant. So can you speak to that? What brought you to Source Global?
Yeah. Touch on your earlier comment. I mean, to me, the next generation of companies are purpose-driven companies that are not only out to create a great product or service, but to change the world for the betterment of society in the process. Mm-hmm. My first company was called Plum Organics, an organic baby food brand. And we brought organic, healthy food to little ones all across the country. To the masses, which was an incredible mission and journey. And I came to Source, a dear friend of mine is the founder and CEO, Cody Friesen. He's an absolute brilliant scientist. And he came up with this technology back in 2014. And it is infinitely simple when you look at this device. It looks like a solar panel.
Yes.
And it has photovoltaics in the center of it. But really what is inside of that is infinitely complex. It's material science, it's understanding physics, and it's done in an incredibly sustainable way. So it really brings the best of modern science and technology with a deep understanding of how to live in harmony with nature and provide water to everyone around the world, which we believe is a fundamental human right. And so Cody's vision and mission, it attracted me to come and join him to help bring water to every corner of the earth.
Well, thank you for that. And let's talk about, the women and the girls are often the ones globally whose lives, sometimes their entire day is spent trekking or wherever they have to go to bring, if they can find clean water, to bring it back, to use it, to keep their family alive. And so tell us about what you were able to do to help with the lives of the women and girls in a remote village where they would have 6 hours of travel.
So you highlighted a major fundamental issue of quite frankly, empowerment and women's rights, is that women and girls have been fetching water that take anywhere from a few hours to an entire day to provide water for the home. And in Bahia Andida, which is the Wayuu tribe, it's an indigenous tribe at the northernmost tip of Colombia. We put in 150 panels that provided water for 400 members of the tribe, and ultimately cutting that round trip, the girls and women, from 6 hours to roughly 6 minutes.
So that is phenomenal.
from their home to the panels, fill up jugs of water and bring them back. And so that just opens up a huge wealth of opportunity that comes when time and access to that time for education, for schooling, for betterment in any capacity. So it really is, you know, in some ways we think of it as technology for social equity, where it allows not only a fundamental human right of access to water, but also the empowerment that comes when people have access to water.
Yes. And and also I want to bring to light that you worked very diligently to make sure that the Navajo Nation had water.
That's correct.
Which is just mind-boggling to think that, you know, these people were deprived of water, just a natural human resource that we must have to live. And especially now in COVID, that they must have this resource.
Absolutely. If you have had the opportunity to visit the Navajo Nation, you'll see that it's beautiful, beautiful land, beautiful people, but they're very separated. You know, you'll see a home and then maybe it's a mile away, another home. So infrastructure was never put in place. And so what this is, it's the equivalent of saying, let's bring telephonics to a remote community and start putting up telephone poles. We're able to, instead of running piping and all of the infrastructure that's kind of Roman era technology, we're able to deploy hydro panels that are completely off the grid. They're powered by solar energy. They produce water. When you stand them up, it takes about 15 minutes to set them up, and they produce water. They start producing water in a matter of 15 minutes, and they can produce anywhere from 3 to 6 liters of purified drinking water every day. And so we're able to put 2 to 4 of these on residents throughout the Navajo Nation and provide water and plumbed in water for the first time in some cases in many of these people's lives. And so it's an honor and a privilege to do this work with the Navajo Nation. I'm actually going up there in a few weeks to install some homes. And, you know, this is, again, it's one of the things that's so remarkable about this technology is that it can be deployed just about anywhere that there's air and sun, which is a lot of places around the world.
So are there any limitations to its capacity? I mean, is it influenced by if it's too cold, if it's too hot, if it's too arid, if it's too wet? Are there any challenges for that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Environmental conditions will actually swing the production quantities. The technology was born right here in the desert in Scottsdale, Arizona at ASU.
Really?
So it, you know, it has the ability to produce water in extremely arid conditions. And it was proven out in this environment. So obviously when you go to places that have higher humidity, it produces more, more water. But, you know, I think one limitation is when it's freezing out, the panels will hibernate so that the water doesn't flow through pipes and freeze and block up the system. But pretty much outside of that, you know, if you have sun and air, we produce water.
That's brilliant. So what do you find, Neil, as you have been so much in your career involved in doing the right thing with the right company that has the right mindset? Yeah. How are you seeing that businesses are changing how they do business?
Well, there is a whole new movement called B Corporation or Benefit Corporation. At my previous company, Plum Organics, we were a pioneer in the B Corp movement. And now last May, Source became a public benefit corporation as well, which is to say that not only is, you know, the fundamentals of your business part of your business model, but your social and environmental contribution gets written into the bylaws of your company,
which so is, excuse me, go ahead, please.
No, which is to say that this is the future of business. We believe that consumers are voting with their dollars. Corporations are voting with their dollars to support businesses that are advancing social and environmental causes, along with providing an excellent product and service. And so the fact that there's now in the state of Delaware and many states around the country and countries around the world, that there is this classification of business, it means that people can start building these kinds of companies.
Hmm. So does this mean that it's not so driven to fill the pockets of the shareholders, or is this more like, is a B corporation kind of like a C corp, which is a nonprofit essentially, or does it have a different structure?
No, it's really marrying the two together. You know, I believe that to have a healthy company, you have to have a healthy balance sheet.
Of course.
But you also, I believe, have a requirement to advance social and environmental causes in doing.
Right.
So you're leaving the world in a better place than when you started. Right. And so that's
so important. And I think it's brilliant that there is that change of mindset, that it's not just capitalism driven. And, you know, capitalism isn't a bad word. It's okay. But how do you have it, as you say, use balance and measure of, you know, how do you actually serve rather than be served?
Right. And I think about it as the choices you make at the early stages of your company. And I think about what Cody did. He chose to make an incredible technology to produce water in the most sustainable way that he could imagine. And he brought those two things together. That choice was driven by his mission and the purpose of the company. And now we codify that in everything we do, you know, all the way down to the bylaws of the business. So all of this is very possible. It just has to have the vision and the leadership early stages of a company and along the way as you grow to make those choices and to invest behind not only the, you know, the health of the company, but also the health of people and planet.
So, Neil, thank you for that answer. So how are organizations, individuals, let's say the Navajo Nation, who are obviously very impoverished, how do they get this kind of technology? The cost has to be pretty substantial. But how do, you know, is this something that could eventually be in any place on the planet where it's necessary and in a reasonable cost?
Yeah, our vision is to have perfect water for every person, every place around the world. So we work very diligently to cost optimize our offering. And also we work with NGOs, we work with governments, we work with a consortium, depending on what project we're building, to help provide that water to the community in need. Mm. Now we have other aspects of our business. We do community programs like the two that we described. We do commercial, we do industrial applications. So we have a wide range of different kinds of programs. We even do residential.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And so it really is about taking this technology and deploying it anywhere that you know, there's a requirement for clean, safe drinking water. And in many ways, when we think about it, you know, we are tackling some pretty difficult stats. You know, we have 2.1 billion people without access to safe, clean drinking water around the world.
Yes. Yes.
Right? We have 500 billion liters of bottled water being consumed every year.
And which, that's staggering.
In its normal format is a half a liter or 500 ml container. That means that there's a trillion bottles of plastic water being produced every year.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
And how that water is attained is sometimes questionable.
Absolutely.
And so what is really important is how do we help people have healthy lives? As you said, with your original company, the organics company, you have to understand that if we're going to have a healthy community, we have to have healthy bodies, we have to have healthy minds, we have to have healthy infrastructures. And here in Michigan, where I am, you know, we had this horrific Flint water crisis, which was ignored, which was known, ignored, and the ramifications are for generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the aging infrastructure. I mean, when you look at Flint, you have Roman era technology, aqueducts, pipes, you know, centralized water systems. They're efficient, they can scale, but they need maintenance. And in times when that infrastructure is starting to crumble, again, I think about the analog of going from stringing up more telephone poles and wire to going cellular, right? Mm-hmm. And we have an ability to decentralize that water production in a way that allows to leapfrog the old infrastructure in replace of new, healthy, sustainable infrastructure.
So let's speak about this technology itself. If someone was not, highly educated in all the technology of this, they don't need to have a PhD to understand how to use this piece of equipment, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That there's some way that they can literally go with their container, their bottle, whatever it is,
yeah,
fill it as needed.
That's correct. Yeah, so the technology itself, in the way we produce water, it has what we could say is passive condensation, where there's a heat differential that gets created by the power of the sun on some glass laminates that allow us to, you know, naturally extract the water that's in the air. And then we have absorbent material, much like you would see sugar in a sugar bowl when the lid is left off, that it starts clumping. That is the material or that matter is just absorbing the water that's naturally suspended in the air. And then we have an ability to release that into a condenser. And so it really is using natural systems to capture and then release the water. And then when it comes to the end consumer or the end user using the water, we have a number of ways we bring that water to the point of need. Everything from, as I mentioned, in Bahia Andida, there's spigots on the side of the panels where you can fill up jugs there. In the Navajo households, we're actually plumbing it right into a spigot inside the house.
Wonderful.
And then in other applications, you know, we have circular glass bottles where we can fill them up, distribute them, collect them, clean them, and then ultimately recycle them. So, you know,
are these waters mineralized in any way that they need to be? Excuse me.
They are. Yeah. When the water gets pulled from the air, it's actually purified water. And so we mineralize it for health and taste.
Mm, okay.
Calcium and magnesium.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So where do you see this expanding, and how are you kind of, are you guiding other companies to learn how to use resources respectfully?
Well, it's the application of the technology is really broad and wide. And so one of the key challenges for the company is where to go first. And so we've really prioritized communities, and these are communities in need, and also more of the business applications, right? And those two, going forward, I think will start to pave the way for a number of different other opportunities for applying the technology to point of need. But we have, you know, residential applications. We've worked with hotels to bring our water into hotels in areas that they don't have clean, safe drinking water. So really the applications are endless. In terms of, you know, the broader business community, we hope that this company can be, you know, part of that broader movement of businesses for good and leading by example and partnering with other companies that are looking to do the same.
Well, it's interesting how you're saying that you're using applications for industry, and, you know, industry, as we know, creates a lot of pollution depending upon what they're doing. And I would imagine it would be so advantageous to them.
That's right.
To have, number one, they're not polluting the environment because we only have one Earth. And they would think, help to maintain the infrastructure of their own system if they're not repolluting themselves.
That's correct. Absolutely. And you can think about a remote job site where bottled water is being trucked in and then disposed of. You know, we deploy panels, and then all of a sudden there is renewable water that's coming out of this, and it's clean, safe, healthy. So it's healthy for the people that are working, and it's healthy for the environment at the same time.
So I'd love to know, in the Navajo Nation, how has the individuals who live there, how have they reacted to this? I mean, literally, this is way, way, way too long in coming than having fresh water. And just to me, you know, you and I, we just go to the tap and we turn on the tap and we don't even give it a second thought.
That's right.
But we need to give it a second and a third and a fourth thought that so many people don't have this. It's just so touching to me to think how this might be, you know, such a change for their health and their safety and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you said it really well, which is we take water for granted in many parts of the world where water flows. And so we don't think about how important it is and how hard it is to get when you don't have access to it.
Yeah.
So something, you know, even in our own backyard here with the Navajo Nation, it's, you know, it's heartbreaking to think that our neighbors are going without water. Right.
Yes.
And so the idea that you can put 2 to 4 of these panels and have running water, we recently installed in 17 homes in the Navajo Nation. We're about to do a whole set of new homes as well in the next coming month. But, you know, I think the feedback that we get is that for the first time that individuals have running water in their home, that into itself is, you know, is remarkable, right? And, you know, the alternative typically is large plastic containers that you have to drive, you know, hours away to fill up. And then they sit outside in the hot sun. And so the quality of that water and the taste of that water and the health of that water
We have no idea what plastics are leaching into that water.
Exactly. And many of us don't even, we don't even know what that experience is. We can't imagine what that experience is. So yes. I think the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. So again, my guest is Neil Grimmer, and he is the brand president for Source Global Inc. And I would encourage you to please look at that. And so is this a public company? Is this a privately held company?
We're a privately held company, mm-hmm. and been in business for roughly 6 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I would imagine you have a lot of people that have ideas maybe that are coming to you and to your colleagues there that might have ideas of how to do things that maybe haven't understood how to do it. Do you get inquiries? Do you get people asking for your assistance of how do they change how we use our resources?
Yeah, oftentimes. I mean, certainly within the core of what we do, you know, almost every project we have is a conversation around what's possible, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is new technology, you have to reimagine what's possible when you have decentralized water that is as clean and safe and healthy as the water that gets produced from the hydro panels. So every project starts with that creativity and that ingenuity around, okay, how can we take that technology and apply it to our need? And that's a really exciting and dynamic period of any project that we do. And I think broadly speaking, you know, as I mentioned, the B Corp community is a community of businesses both here in the US and abroad that are all looking at ways to bring not only great healthy product and service to market, but also to benefit people and planet in the process. And that's an incredibly vibrant community we're excited to be a part of. And they're in very different industry segments. Like I said, you know, my previous company was an organic baby food brand. You know, having an opportunity to partner with Source, you know, would be an absolute joy, you know? And so there's the cross-pollination that can happen from companies that have a shared mindset and vision and mission, and that bring very different capabilities to the table.
Yeah. So what I think is so important is when we really look at what Mother Life, what Mother Earth does naturally, truly the observation for centuries of the indigenous people, all sciences came from watching creation itself.
That's right. Biomimicry.
All science.
That's
and
exactly
we forget
right.
that
That's
if
right.
we ever knew it at all.
Right. And instead of trying to battle nature, it's trying to work in harmony with Mother Nature, in synchronicity. And that's where the more renewable, sustainable movement is really finding its footing in biomimicry and in harmony with nature.
So how long does it take to get something installed, you know, to ordered, installed, delivered, installed, et cetera, until it's up and running? You mentioned just 15 minutes until it's, but you know, what is the process of creating this and how big is your distribution?
Yeah, we're in 48 countries around.
Wow.
And, you know, it depends on the type of project and the size of the project, but it can be as quick as 3 weeks from go to when we have panels installed and water flowing. Typical projects, maybe 8 weeks. But obviously with supply chains and COVID slowing travel, you know, there's some delays associated with that, but not much.
Mm. So I did get to see a little bit of the schematics when I had the pleasure of watching you do a presentation. And it seems like it's relatively few parts. So I would imagine that helps in terms of having to source what it is that you're getting.
Yeah. And again, going back to that fundamental design that Cody had when he first created the hydro panel, the idea was to create as few moving parts as possible so mm-hmm. that the material itself could have a long life and the panels could be, you know, pretty durable in various different kinds of environments. And so we also have every panel is wired to a network and we can see the panel's operations in our network operations center in Scottsdale, Arizona.
So you can check in and see if it's running efficiently.
We can check in on every panel. See
wow.
How
and what's the track record for how they're doing?
They do really well.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Exactly.
So when you can, you know, have someone just check in on it for you, you know that it's running well.
Well, it's fundamentally important if you're going to be as broadly distributed as we are. We need to have, you know, eyes in the sky to be able to understand how everything's working. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're serving communities. And so that's a really important part of what we do, make sure that the water is flowing.
That's wonderful. So is there any thoughts about ways that maybe Source Global is helping in the future to maybe clean polluted water at this point?
You know, there's a lot of companies in the water industry that are looking at various aspects of that. You know, the way we see our role in there is about creating a renewable, sustainable water technology that is generative. But there are certainly a lot of great companies out there doing other important work. You know, rain capture is some, cleaning through reverse osmosis is another, right? And great technologies and advancements happening in all of those areas and fields. And we really see ourselves as a partner or as a synergistic technology with other technologies that are out trying to solve the water problem.
Well, Neil, our time is going by really quick, as always does. I want to thank you again. My guest has been Neil Grimmer from Source Global Inc. Please go to their website, www.source.co, and check out what they're doing. And maybe look at how we can help create more B corporations that are doing not only the right thing, but the best thing.
Perfect.
For humanity. Thank you so much, Neil, for your time. Thank you for all you do.
I look forward
to continuing to learn more about how you're bringing water where it's needed.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles and Empower Radio. Remember, you too can make a difference. All you have to do is just think about it and then move. Thank you.